Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to come before you. It was interesting because I spoke last week, and as the week was going by, God said, I got a word for you to share. And I was like, I don't know. And I didn't hesitate. I went ahead and said, Marquise, if God hasn't given you anything, then I have like a continuation almost to what I spoke about last week. Last week, I spoke about shifting your focus. And if you want to hear that, you have to go and listen to it on the podcast that's on our church website, or you can find it on Facebook. But this week, we're talking about a time to trust. And he began to ask me some questions, and it was, where is your trust? Where is your trust? And who are you putting your trust in, or what are you putting your trust in? Are you putting your trust in God? And he just began to remind me of a song we sing. Part of it that Marquise leads, he says, for breakthrough and healing, my praise is shifting. A lot of times you're going through different things and you need to shift the atmosphere, because maybe it's chaotic. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you don't know how to bring peace or how to have peace of mind. But when you begin to praise, when you begin to worship, it begins to shift the atmosphere. So when we begin to trust God and really rely on him, it begins to shift our focus. So we're going to get into the word, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. And just a little background, this is Moses and God's people after they parted the Red Sea. And they're in the wilderness now. And so we're going to go into Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 1. And it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give the sons of Israel. From each of their fathers' tribes you shall send a man, and everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent spies from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, and all the men who were heads of the Israelites. And that's the first three verses. Then we're going to jump down to... So God told him to send spies. Go into this land and see what it's all about. See if we can go in and overtake the people, and this, if this is where we're supposed to be. So jumping down to verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, go up this way to Negev, the south country. Then go up to the hill country. See what the land is like, whether there is good people there, strong or weak, few or many, whether the land is good or bad, whether the cities which there are open camps are fortifications, and whether the land is good or whether it is fat or lean, whether there is timber or it is not. Make an effort to get some fruit of the land. Now at this time, it was time for the first ripe of grapes. And that was through the 20th verse. And then we're going to jump down. So he told him to go into the land, look it out, see if there's people that are strong and able to fight, or if it's just weak people and we can overtake them. He's sending them into this land to see if it's where they're supposed to be. He said, and then also look at the grapes, because it is grape season, and we want to know if they're good or if they're big, if they're small, if they're not good. So jumping down to verse 27, it says, they reported to Moses and said, so they already went into the land, and they looked around, and they were able to see what was going on in the land. He sent 12 of them out. 12. And they went to go see what it was like. And so now they're coming back and they're ready to give their report to Moses. So it says, they reported to Moses and said, we went into the land where you sent us. And it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. So they brought some grapes back. But the people who lived in the land are strong and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, they are like the descendants of Anak, people of great stature and of courage. So they're coming back and they're saying, man, there's some big guys. They're huge. I don't know if we can hang with them. They're big. You know, sometimes we see things and to us, it seems so big. But we have to remember the God we serve. So despite what it looks like, we have to remember that with God on our side, we don't have to fear. Jumping down to, we're still in chapter 13, verse 30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we certainly can conquer it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people of Canaan, for they are too strong for us. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land which they had spied out, saying, the land which we went into and is spying out, the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in there are of great stature. And they said, and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. So they're saying, these are some big guys. So basically it's like me and then an NBA player. I would look like a grasshopper. I had a coworker that used to work with us and he played overseas and I came up a little bit above his waist. And I always felt like, can you sit down while you're talking to me? Because I felt like he was towering over me. And sometimes when you look at the appearance of people, you feel like you're so small. You feel like you're inadequate. But we have to remember the big God we serve. If we just think back to David and Goliath, David was a big guy. And David was a little boy, and he remembered who his God was, and he remembered that he could defeat them. But we forget a lot of times, and we get fearful. We forget to trust. And the people have forgot that God already said, this is the land I'm going to give you and give your descendants. But they forgot to trust God. And they begin to say, oh, they're too big, and we can't defeat them. But the God I serve is bigger than any situation. We have to remember that the God we serve is bigger than any problem. It reminded me of a story of a guy that was in the army. And he had been witnessing and being a light to different people. And they used to make fun of him time after time after time. And they used to talk about his faith and just say, oh, sit down somewhere. And he didn't care. He continued to take a bold stance for his beliefs. And so one day they said, oh, we're going to fix him good. And so he came from whatever he was doing and he came and the commander said, I want you to go move the Jeep. And he was like, okay, you want me to move the Jeep? Okay. And he said, and you better call upon your God to help you to do it. And he's like, man, God, why are they always, you know, messing with me for my beliefs? So he said, okay. And he went and he got in the car and he said, God, I know with you all things are possible. I ask that you just help me. And so he moved the Jeep where they told him to move it. And when he got out, all of them were on their faces and they were crying. And he said, what is going on? Why are you guys crying? He said, open the hood. And he opened the hood. There was no engine inside. He said, we want to know your God. But because he shouldn't have been able to move that car. But because of the God he serves, because he believed and he trusted in the God of Almighty to help him move it, he didn't know what was going on. They didn't say, oh, it's going to be hard for you to move. But no, they were playing a trick on him. And because he believed in God, because he knew who his God was, he was able to do what God had told him to do. You see, they had already been delivered out of Egypt. So they forgot he just parted the Red Sea. And they walked on dry land. And then he didn't just stop there, but he caused it to go back and defeat their enemies. So a lot of times we forget. We get in a tough spot and we forgot what God just delivered us out of. We forget how he just paid our bill last month. We forget how he just helped us pass that test. We forget about those things, what he just brought us out of. And if we would just only look to him and put our trust in him, if we would just shift our focus and say, okay, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm going to trust you. In the midst of the test, in the midst of the going through, I began to shift my focus this week and said, you know what? I just need to praise. Because I got to a point where I felt like I was about to lose my mind. You know, when you get so frustrated and you're like, if I could just go somewhere and just scream, I might feel a little bit better. But I said, God, I'm getting to my breaking point. God, I need you. I need you right now. It was like one thing after another after another. And it takes us going through some stuff sometimes for us to begin to call upon his name. Because a lot of times we'll go through some things and we're not really surrendering. We go through some stuff and we're not really ready to trust. But he said, okay, keep going. Keep trying to do things on your own. But when we stop and we begin to say, God, I trust you. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But God, I trust you. God, I need you just to move. And this week he came and met me in my cube and he said, just trust me. I'm going to carry you through this if you just trust me. And I said, okay, I trust you. And because I trust you, I choose to worship in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the test, in the midst of everything going on, I choose to worship. And when a lot of times you may be sick in your body or you may be tired and you don't feel like doing anything, but in spite of you going through that pain, in spite of what things may look like, in spite of people may pushing you away or look at you different, and you just begin to worship, he begins to change the atmosphere. A lot of times coming into church, sometimes you have to shift your focus because maybe you had an argument at home. Or maybe you've been so stressed out from the week that you don't know what's, I don't even know what we're about to eat tomorrow. You're so stressed and you don't know what to do. But when you shift your focus and you begin to trust in God and say, God, I can't do it. But I choose to worship you in the midst of everything. I choose to say, God, I surrender. Not my will, not my way any longer. God, I need your help. I need your help. So I made up in my mind. I said, I choose to worship. So different things were happening. I'm taking deep breaths. I'm like, okay, God, help me. I choose to worship. And I just began, my headphones started acting up. I was like, oh, man, can't listen to no music now. And I was like, okay, I just began to worship. Begin to hum different songs or just begin to pray. Just worship. Just begin to worship him. Because when I worship, that shifts things in the atmosphere. I can no longer be mad. I can no longer be frustrated. But it's me shifting my focus off of the situation and onto God. We have to shift our focus on to God. Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident in this, that he who had begun a good work in you will carry it until the day of completion and the day of Jesus Christ. I'll read it again. Being confident in this and in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we think God put something in us and he just gonna stop. But we have to be confident and know that if he delivered you out of your mess, oh, he's gonna take you through a test or a trial, and he's going to help you through it. God doesn't just halfway. I often remind myself that he didn't just go halfway to the cross and say, you know, I'm done with these people. But he went all the way to completion. When we're out there in the world and we see our team, you know, they're getting, the Seahawks are winning. We're getting pumped up and we're all made up in our green and blue and whatever it is. And we go all out for our teams. How much more should we go all out for God? We can be confident and know that if God put something in us, he's going to continue to mature that. He's going to continue to give us words of encouragement. He's going to continue to build us up, to fill us up. He's going to continue to move on our behalf. But we have to present ourselves available. A lot of times I have to stop and say, here I am, God, you can use me. I don't know how. I don't know when. But God, I surrender. Because that's taking me out of the way, my desires. And it's me saying, God, do whatever it is that you want to do. Use me as you see fit. Maybe it's me just giving up my seat so that someone else can sit down. Maybe it's me just having conversation with this guy at the bus stop yesterday who clearly just needed to talk to somebody. And I could tell. Because at first I was trying to, God was giving me stuff and I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I'm getting irritated. And God said, just trust me. I'll give you the word you're supposed to speak. But I need you to be a vessel right now. And I said, okay. He said, you've been asking me just to use you. Just be a light. I said, okay. And so we're sitting there and we're talking. And I'm like, God, how do you want me to minister to him? And he's like, you know, I've been in this relationship and this now. I was like, so are you committed? Are you going to get married? This that. He's like, well, I don't know. That's just a piece of paper. And I said, you know what? I said, it is a piece of paper, but it's me saying that I am committed. Me taking that next step to say, you know what? I don't care who else is out in the world, but I'm committed to you. And I'll put on this ring to remind me that I will be faithful day after day after day through thick and thin. He said, man, I never thought about it like that. He said, well, how long have you been married? I said, it's been 15 years. And you know what? He's my best friend. I said, but you know what? It started with God. Because if it was just me and him, oh, believe me, we probably would have had more arguments. We would have had, it would have been different. But we took that step to have God in our relationship first. It took us, you know, being friends and really getting to know each other and making sure that we're following God, listening to God. He said, man, I didn't think about that. I said, well, that's something to think about. Because you can get with someone and you guys be friends and sometimes you be like, man, I ain't feeling you no more. And that's what you do when you're in a relationship. You're like, oh, I could break up with you. But when you're committed, when you really love someone, you're able to take that next step and say, I want to do life with you. And most importantly, you're allowing God to come in, allowing God to be with you guys. So God just let me be that light to him. I didn't get to share my testimony, man, or tell him, you know, you got to get right or anything like that. No, I just, you know, just was able to be a light and plant those little seeds. Because maybe he was, you never know, that maybe that's what he was dealing with that day, about taking that next step of commitment. We can't just always think, oh, man, I got to just witness and tell him you're going to hell if you don't get right. No, that's not, it's not always like that. People are not receptive to that. But when you're human, and you know, I can't do it by myself, but with God, I can stay faithful to my husband with his help. We have to have the help of God. And we have to remember to continue to trust God. So I have a few quotes for you. The first one is from Joyce Myers. It says, patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how you behave while you're waiting. Who in here loves to wait? I I don't like to wait. And when my daughter was young, she used to, I gotta wait. I'm like, yes, baby, you gotta wait. And she'd be like, oh, be mad. And sometimes I'm like that with God. I'm like, God, I want it right now. And he's like, no, you just gotta wait. But then it's how are you waiting while you're waiting? Are you being confident and knowing that, okay, God, you told me that you're gonna move me to a different job. You told me you're gonna do this. And you know what? I believe it. I'm not gonna get frustrated. I'm gonna trust that you're gonna move. It's how you're waiting. Say, God, I want my family saved. I want them sold out for you. How are you waiting? Are you getting frustrated and say, oh, they ain't never coming? You're beginning to speak doubt? Or are you trusting God? And you're saying, okay, any day now, I'm just gonna keep being a light. Any day now, I'm gonna keep planting seeds. I'm gonna keep loving on them with the love of Jesus. How are you waiting? How are you waiting? The next one is from Rick Warren. It says, the deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain, trusting him during the trial, surrendering when you're suffering, and loving on him when he seems distant. All those things are hard to do on a daily basis when you're trying to do it by yourself. But we have to continue to love him and praise him in spite of any pain. During the test, we know he's quiet, but we have to continue to persevere. When we're suffering, say, okay, God, I can't do it. And when you feel like he's not there, continue to say, God, I know you hear me. And I know you're speaking, but maybe I'm just not hearing the right words. But God, I am allowing you to move. God, I choose to trust. That's what we need to do on a daily basis. God, I choose to trust your plan, your way, your timing. I choose to trust you. We have to remember to shift our focus. Don't be like those people and allow things that seem hard to make us step back and say, we can't do it. Because they could have been out of the wilderness if they would have known the God they serve and know that he's on their side and they can go in and deliver them, like Caleb came back to say. This is a land of milk and honey and we can go and take them. But they didn't believe. They didn't trust in the word he had spoke. He said he was going to give it to them, but they didn't trust. There's different opportunities that we're waiting for God to move, but we have to trust. We have to shift our focus and begin to trust him more. Know that he's going to move with those loved ones. He's going to move in those job situations. He's going to move in this community. He's going to continue to move in this church, but we have to trust. Not plans, not the plans of man's, not man's timing, but we have to trust him. And so just like when I was at work and I said, I choose just to praise in spite of everything, we have to choose just to trust in spite of the pain and the spite of frustration, in spite of everything going on, we have to begin to trust in God. I believe there's a scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. We try and do things on our own, but we're not going to understand it. It's not going to seem right, but we have to trust in God. When I had Markayla and I decided to stay home for a while, and then I decided, okay, I want to go back to work. So because I trusted in God, I picked up the phone and I called my old supervisor and said, you know, I don't know if there's any positions open, but I'd love to come back to work. She said, oh, when can you start? I said, tomorrow. She said, come on down. That's me choosing to trust in God. If I didn't have boldness and I didn't know that God could move like that, I would have been stuck looking elsewhere. But because I worked and I knew I had a good work ethic, I knew I could pick up the phone and say, okay, God, speak through me. Give me the words to say. I don't know if they're going to. Who does that? What place does that? It takes us having faith. It takes us believing in God. It takes us trusting in God. But you have to be willing to trust. In spite of what things may look like, in spite of what things may feel like, you have to begin to trust in God and know that your help comes from Him and Him alone. Stop trying to do it on your own and do it your own way. Stop trying to wait for that door to open for you, but begin to trust and say, God, I'm going to put in the application. God, I believe that you're going to move. God, I believe that you're going to handle every situation. God, I trust. The reason why I say I choose is because me, I can't do it by myself. But me saying I choose, I'm letting go and I'm allowing God. I choose to trust Him more. I choose to trust in His ways. I choose not to believe the things that the world has said, or maybe what other family members have said, or what other friends have said, but I choose to trust in God. You have to make up in your mind to trust Him. You have to really push yourself to shift and do the things that He wants you to do. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. I thank you that we choose to trust you more, oh God. We choose to shift our focus onto you. We choose just to know that you can move us into a land of milk and honey, Lord God. We choose to trust that you are going to do all that you said you were going to do, God. God, we know that you are faithful to complete your word. God, we know that you are more than able to move any mountain, to handle any situation, oh God. God, we believe in the God that you are, and that's a great and powerful God that is more than able to do the impossible, oh God. God, help us to have faith. Help us to trust in you and never doubt, Lord God. Help us to know that our praise is shifting the atmosphere around us. Help us to know that we can shift our focus onto you, oh God. God, and we can praise you in spite of what we feel like. We can praise you in spite of what things may look like. We can praise you in spite of what's in our bank account, Lord God. We can praise you, oh God. God, help us just to choose just to worship you, oh God. God, to take a step forward, God, and focus on you and you alone. To know that you are in control. God, we ask that you would be with us this day, Lord God. God, help us to continue to go home and be able to sit down and give you everything and say, God, I choose to trust you in this situation. God, I choose to believe the report of the Lord that says we are healed, we are set free, we are delivered. God, that we would take time and make a list and make it known to you everything that we need to surrender into your hands, Lord God. And that we would shift our focus off of ourselves and off of what we see in the natural. But we'll shift our focus onto you and what you can do and how powerful you are, oh God. Because you're a God that is more than able. You're still in the healing business. You're still in the miracle working business. God, we believe you can do it. God, we ask that you move in this place, God. God, we ask that you take us home safely and help us never to leave your presence, oh God. God, we just thank you right now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.